Thanks.
This is Henry. Is this on? I can't hear very well. Devin, can you hear?
Yeah.
Here now.
Yep.
All right, good. We're on. I'm Henry Wilk with BroadcastSport.net, and we're with finalist Devin Jackson, Yorktown High School. Devin, my connection to Yorktown High School is with, you know, Coach John Smith.
Yeah.
Him and I were state champions the same year. I was a lightweight state champion. He was a 112
really?
State champion. I'm still a little jealous about him winning the scholarship for Ball State with Ball State at wrestling. And also Dennis Lewis, your state, first state champ. I used to work out with him. I wrestled for Anderson College. And we had a team at Anderson. I watched your match in the semifinals, Devin, and you had one. I mean, you took no prisoners on a pretty tough Nick Schrader. You went out after him, and as I remember, it was a double leg lift. He took him right to his back, got a win.
Yeah.
He bounced off his back, and then you gave it to him again.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been a pattern in all your matches this year?
Yep, just jumping on him and getting him on him quick.
How many years you been wrestling, Devin?
Oh, my whole life.
Your whole life?
Yep.
Okay.
Since I was little.
Wrestling club with Coach McCormick.
Yep.
Hey, my first thought. Thinking back this season, what's the one factor that happened during the season that you think really prepared you best for this tournament?
Probably the start.
The start?
The start of the season, yeah.
The preseason conditioning, playing any other sports?
Yep. I don't know no other sports, just wrestling.
Just wrestling?
Yep.
That's the way it's going now. What percentage of wrestling do you think is physical, and what percent do you think is mental, would you say, at this stage of the game?
Probably half and half, maybe. I don't know. I think most of it's mental.
It is, you know. Especially when you get down to this part of the state. I always thought that when I was in high school, I know. And we were not quite as physical as they are now, but we're probably about as mental as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, in all sports, you know, I don't care if you're playing baseball or football or whatever, wrestling the same way. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't start wrestling until I was a freshman in high school. Dan Gable, the legendary coach of Iowa, was a couple years older than me, but he was my idol, and I wanted to be a champion like him. Do you have an idol in your life? Someone you looked up? You might not have to be even a wrestler.
My dad.
Your dad?
Yep.
Is he a wrestler?
Nope, never a wrestler.
Really?
Just great guy.
He's just a great coach.
He's a great guy.
Huh?
Yep. Yep, just a good guy.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your mental toughness in the sport?
10.
10?
Yep. My head's in it all the time.
How are your grades? I bet you're a pretty good student, too.
Yeah, I try to stay focused during class.
Yeah, it's kind of tough when you're cutting
weight. It's a big thing.
By the way, did you cut quite a bit of weight? Or
not as much as last year.
Yeah.
I used to last year.
Now, what weight did you wrestle last year, by the way?
112.
112.
Yep.
So you bumped up to put some muscle
on. Yep.
Got stronger. So the practices aren't necessarily a weight loss thing. You're more focused on your technique.
Yep,
obviously.
Just getting better every day.
Hey, the last thing before I leave you. Is what's the number one reason why you feel you deserve to win tonight?
Just so much hard work, you know. I've been putting my whole life into this, and I'm ready, you know, go win it.
That sounds good. Hey, Devin, it's been a pleasure interviewing
you. All right,
you
thanks
take
a lot.
Care and good luck tonight.
All right, thanks. All right, I will.
Okay, that's Devin Jackson. He's your finalist at 130 pounds for the Yorktown Tigers. Next, we have a young man at 112 pounds. Come on in here, Kyle. Coach Hahn dug up Kyle Erisman. Kyle, you were a semi-state champion last year. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know you've wrestled Paul Beck twice. And first time, it was at the L. Smith, right?
First time was at L. Smith, yeah.
In December.
Yep.
And as I remember, it was a 2-1 match, right?
Yeah, I lost 2-1.
And it was pretty controversial towards the end there. Didn't you almost have an escape or take, and I'm sure you probably relived it about 50 million times in your mind, right?
Yeah, I almost got an escape, and, I mean, he ended up giving me a stalling point, and I was almost out with a couple of seconds left, 10 seconds left.
Yeah, as I remember, because Coach Hahn and I were up in the Crow's Nest broadcasting the match for BroadcastSport.net, and then again, you beat him. We were there last weekend, and you... beat him in the... what do you think was the clincher there? It appears to me you're two single legs, you cut the corner on him, and then when you sandwich his knees together and dump him down for that first takedown, I believe, on the double E's, you remember that?
I think just getting the first takedown is the most important thing. but I got taken down in 3 seconds.
Yeah, you know, it's almost a misnomer now that getting that first takedown is not necessarily, but it helps with the confidence level.
Yeah.
Sometimes it acts as kickoff points to your opponent.
Yeah, I think it's important.
But I think it was real important in your match last week, and obviously you probably got the same attitude going in there this year, right?
Yeah.
Or this evening. And I would think the first time you wrestled him, it seemed like he really kind of tried to bull rush in and really storm you in the outset, and you weathered the storm there pretty good. You really did a good job, I thought, last weekend weathering the storm in that first period.
Go ahead.
Is that the way you saw it?
Yeah, and he just charged into me.
And he gets that 2-on-1, and he tries to really...
Tries to jack me up.
So I'm sure you got a plan for that tonight, and you got to try to stick with that. Thinking back over the year, what do you think is the number one factor throughout the year that really caused you to be prepared for tonight? Just this season. I know you spent a lot of time in the sport.
Well, I mean, this season, I've been working a lot after practice. And after practice, it really helps your conditioning and just makes you a better wrestler, I think.
Now, Kyle, I know that at the beginning of the season, you were going to try to make 103. And I know that you got down to about 108 because I think I was going to referee one of your matches in Michigan City earlier in the year, and I had heard that you were about 4 or 5 pounds over, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Offhand. When you made the decision to go to 12, how did you feel about it at that time? Apprehensive?
Yeah, I was nervous. I mean, I was wrestling bigger kids, and I mean, a lot of people say that I don't even look like a 12-pounder. They just say I'm too small.
Yeah. It's not the size of the fight, the dog in the fight, the size of fighting the dog. I know what you're going through because I went through the same thing when I was in high school. I thought, man, if I don't go down to that lowest weight, you know, it's that little man syndrome, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, second question. What percent of wrestling do you think is mental? What percent do you think is physical?
I think mental is about 60%.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, you got to be mentally prepared. You can't lose your composure. You got to stay mentally tough out there. And physical, I mean, you got to go out there trying to rough them up, but not hurt them, of course.
Yeah, and you know, the mental part, too, includes the confidence factor that you know you have confidence in your conditioning level.
Yeah.
And you have confidence, in obviously, in your technique level. If you're not going to be big and strong, like my coach used to tell me, you're either a bull or a rabbit. And I looked at myself and said, I guess I'm a rabbit.
Yeah.
You know, I got to concentrate on that technique and quickness. A couple more questions here. Who's your idol in the sport of wrestling? We have a lot of idols. In other sports, they have idols. Do you look up to anybody you really want
to? I just look up to, like, college wrestlers. I just want to be like them and do my best and hopefully one day be at the level that they're at.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. It really makes you feel, you know, you got some great models to look after, like Andrew Howe from your area. And, of course, Angel Escobedo and a lot of those, and Alex Surtees. A lot of good role models, college guys. On a scale of 1 to 10, one being the worst, 10 being the best, how would you rate your mental toughness?
About a six? Yeah.
Do you get down a lot when you get taken down, or is it?
It's not a lot, but like I mean, I'll think to myself, oh, I got to get out now. I got to make it close. I got to keep the score close so I can beat him in that third period or whatever.
Yeah, that's good. You got confidence in that late match attack. All right, the last question before I set you. What is the number one reason why you feel you deserve a state title tonight?
Just because I worked for it all year, and for the past 10 years I've been wrestling, and I just feel like I can go out there and win it.
No luck involved. It's all good skill.
Yep.
Hey, good skill to you tonight, Kyle.
Right,
good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. Okay. That's Kyle Ayersman from the Lake Central Indians. What school are you from? It's Corp. Come on. I didn't recognize him. Zach, I got a lot of good questions for you. You look like you're a man on a mission, and God bless you. I hope you pull it out tonight. First question here, what factor this year? If you look back just over on this year, not the year before, but what factor this year do you think something happened that really motivated you to get to this point? Can you pinpoint it down for us?
Yeah. After I lost at Mishawaka at 160 by a point, I was determined to try to beat my brother's win record at Elkhart Memorial. So I decided to win every match since then, and my goal is still about to be accomplished, but I don't think I'm going to catch the record. So.
Well, you know, statistics are... records are made to be broken, obviously. And let me just ask you here, what percent of the sport do you think is physical, and what percent do you think is mental?
I think it's 95% mental and 5% physical. If you go out there thinking you're going to win and telling yourself that you're going to go out there and wrestle physically, you'll win the match. That's what I believe. So.
Just let me ask, the match with, everybody knows that you were teammates with Ryan Stahl last year. This year, your opponents, obviously, what was the motivation factor? You think that you weren't over-motivated, or you just even keel as you went into that match?
Well, at first, I just won. Yeah, it was a big match, but in my head, it was just another guy in my way to win a state title. So I didn't think of it as Ryan Stahl. I thought of it as another 152-pounder standing in my way to a gold medal. So, yep.
Yeah, it doesn't put over sometimes you can put too much pressure on yourself. And hopefully tonight you can really open fire up tonight like you have been this whole tournament. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your mental toughness, 10 being the best, obviously?
Right now it's probably 7.5. So
7.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's kind of even keel, too.
Yeah.
Now, you wrestled Surma early in the year, didn't you, at 60?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that was another motivating factor for you? I know... There's been a lot of rumors about how the match is officially.
It was the first match of the season, and
just coming out of football and him, trying to get your wheels.
Yeah, him being in the top five in the state of people at that weight, I felt that I compared pretty well to him on my feet. I just need to get better shape. So that pushed me to get in better shape and mentally strong. So just forget about the match and go on and win more.
I know you're a three-sport athlete. Play football, wrestle, and play baseball. And, you know, in a lot of those sports, I know when I was growing up, I always had idols. I had Dan Gable as an idol. And,
yep.
You know, Mickey Mantle as an idol. Who's your idol in wrestling? Who's your idol totally?
All the famous guys, Gable and all them, but my brother is really, he's my main idol right now.
That's pretty awesome.
So watching him being a three-sport athlete and winning a state championship as a senior really, really touched me when I was in seventh grade. So I set a goal to myself that I'm going to do the same thing, maybe even better, but... I got to get up there first, so my brother's my idol, yep.
That's awesome, that's awesome. And last question, what is the number one reason why you feel you deserve to win a state title tonight?
I've been working hard this whole week and the whole year. Ever since I was 2 years old, I've been in a wrestling room, so I think I've deserved it, I think I've earned it, but I have to go out there and do it now, so.
Open fire,
yep.
Good luck to you.
Yep, thank you.
Nice having you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
All right.
Before you take that off, make sure you say hi to your daddy. Yes.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Grandpa,
hey,
Grandma, Mom.
All right. Take care, Zach. Good luck to you, bud. Looks like Danny Bradley of Knox. Danny, I'm Henry Wolf, broadcast sport. Coached for 30 years over at Penn. You probably don't remember me wrestling. Well, your freshman year was my last year of coaching. But anyway, man, you are really just going through the field really, really well. You're single leg. You haven't done any handstands.
No, not today.
You kind of calm that down. I saw you last week at Maryville.
Yeah, I did
it
too.
Obviously, you're getting down to brass tacks now.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you, the first question, over the course of the season, your senior season, a lot of things happened. Can you pinpoint one thing that might have really kind of set you up for tonight?
Well, I always look up to many, many kids, like Chad Biddle, his little brother I've grown up with, and he won state for Portage about 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, Chad Biddle?
Yeah, Chad Biddle. Yeah, I know him. He's like a brother to me. And then Chad Allen and Derek Allen, they're both really good wrestlers.
You worked a lot with them in the formative years.
Yeah, and Billy Bogan, he's taught me so much over the years, so much. He's here today.
Billy Bogan from John Glenn?
Knox.
Okay, from Knox.
Yeah.
Second question. What percent of wrestling do you think is physical? What percent do you think is mental?
All right. I'm going to have to say 75 physical, 25 mental.
Pretty good. You know, it varies from person to person.
Yeah, to me it's a big 25% though, because I have it in my head that I'm going to.
Let me ask you this along the same lines. Being here last year and placing, what were you?
I got eighth at 119.
At 19. Being here last year and coming back this year, has that helped you?
I think it has. Last year I was a medium-sized 119. This year I'm just a really, really big 119.
Every weight class has a particular size.
Yep.
And if you don't have that size, sometimes you can be... But you don't want to get to the point where you're cutting too much. Yeah. You start the season out.
Well, I didn't do any workouts or anything for wrestling over the summer. I just played football. And.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then after football, I was probably like 135 tops maybe. And I cut down.
That's
it was
a modest cut.
Yeah.
Cut down slow, obviously, with our state guidelines and skin folds.
Yep.
Like that.
Well,
that's right. Weren't you at 130?
Yeah, I wrestled. Yeah, but that was without cutting weight.
You were probably a light 30 pounder.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you said you know who your idols are. You got that pretty clear in mind.
Yeah.
The Allen boys and Biddle. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your mental toughness?
Oh, my mental toughness right now is a 10.
10 being
10.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's way up there. I believe I can win. I know I can win.
Wow. Hey, and the last question, Danny. What is the number one reason why you feel you deserve to win a state title tonight?
Well, I've been working so hard. I come from a little small town. And I started since I was about probably 8 years old. This is probably my 10th year. I don't know. I just worked so hard, and I just think I deserve it. I've done so much extra stuff that... In the summer I always ran. We had at Knox we have this thing called Train Bridge.
Uh-huh.
We always jump off of it into the water. We have this Yellow River. I ran from my house, and I live probably 5 miles out. Every day I always ran there.
And you said, if I don't run the whole way, I will not win a state title.
Yep. Yeah.
I used to do the same thing when I was in high school.
And there's somebody. What else gives me drive too is that. I'm not going to say who, but there's somebody in my life earlier in the years, because I won ISWA state, and I just, I don't know, we got in an argument, and just he said I was never going to win state again, and I still have, to this day, a piece of paper from when I was, I don't know, I won in 8th grade year, I think. I still have a piece of paper wrote down who said it, what, and I want to prove them wrong.
Did you go to any camps over the summers?
Not this summer. I haven't done anything. I just played football. But the year before, I went to the CMA National Champion Camp with Mark Perry.
Who was down there?
Mark Perry. There was Angel Escobedo was there.
He's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Did you take him down in the practice room?
No. And then there was, let's see, who else? Danny Hernandez was there. P.J. O'Connor, I think his name is.
Yeah,
from
J.P.
Yeah, J.P. O'Connor.
He's number one ranked 49-pounder right now.
Yep.
Or not 49-41. Hey, good talking to you. Best of luck tonight,
all right,
Danny.
Thank you very much.
Take it to him. Hey, Knox's first state champion.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking at it.
All right, thanks.
Good luck to you, bud.
Yeah, you too.
The Bass Lake kids, all right. Who's this guy? Joe, how you doing?
Good.
Unbelievable. That's been a good state tournament.
Yes, it has. Lots of good matches.
Where are we at here? Is that Anthony Hawkins?
Yep, Hawkins there. Got Lovejoy and Kiefer up here on mat two.
Some pretty good kids with almost spotless records. Going for third and fourth.
See my new shirt, Henry?
That's awesome. Well, that fits you. It looks like it might fit me better.
You got a whole stash of them back there.
Joe, how's the IndianaMat.com going, your opinion?
It's going pretty good.
Pretty good response, aren't you?
Yeah, we got a lot of people online right now that can't make it here, so it's good that they're getting updates from both you guys and us. If they can't get on the listen to it, they can at least get the updates on the message board.
Well, I tell you, that message board just really taken off. got items from college wrestling, about, you know, following some of the leaders in school, like Andrew Howard.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to high school, obviously, girls wrestling.
Yeah, there's
just a multitude of avenues in wrestling.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things in wrestling. It's pretty neat that you can see them all the way from women's up to the college and all that.
Now, are you officiating, Joe?
I officiate some middle school stuff. I don't usually have enough time during the high school season to get out much. I'm usually either scouting or watching club kids or coaching my kids. So.
Uh-huh.
Well,
that's a tough match for
McCreary, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. McCreary's legit. He's tough. Yeah, he did. He wasn't afraid and wrestled a good match. Just better wrestler. Sometimes you run into better kids. He was his freshman year, but hasn't played baseball since his freshman year. This year, though, I think he is running track to stay in shape because he's going to make a push for Fargo, I think. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Unfortunately, yes, I do know him.
Jeff wrestled for Penn when I wrestled for Mishawaka back in the 60s and 70s.
60s and 70s? Jeez, I thought he was about 50s and 40s.
I'm sure the general will really appreciate that.
Yes, I'm sure I'm getting some stall calls against us.
Yeah. He's a good official. He's consistent. You know what you're going to get from Jeff.
Oh, yes.
He's really helped our officials association in the St. Joe County. We have meetings every Monday.
Yeah.
And he spearheads a lot of the big questions. And he used to be the vice president, now Roger Griffith. You know Roger?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
He's our vice president. He's doing a great job, too. And this is my second year in the officiating ranks. And I enjoyed every minute of the coaching. But the officiating is a different breed.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we've got a really good group of officials that are really working hard to try to make every call.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's impossible. But you always strive to make the best call.
Yes, it is. It's definitely, I mean, I'm doing middle school right now.
Oh, yeah,
and it's,
you got to hold your call.
Yeah.
I
get too anxious to call the takedown, and all of a sudden they're back neutral. Like, what happened?
I had a middle school match the other night, and the guy that's the middle school coach, one of our feeders at Penn, was my assistant at Penn.
Oh.
And he was going to retire, and then they conned him into assisting out at this middle school. And I made a quick two-point takedown call on one of his kids, and he yelled out, and about 2 seconds after that, "You got to wipe that one off." And I swallowed my pride, and I wiped it off.
Yeah, it's not – middle school's hard.
You hold your calls, yeah. Very difficult. And you know something, it's a workout because you got to get down and up and down and up on the mat.
Oh, yeah. They
high school is kind of a snap at this level.
Oh, yeah. You just got to watch those close calls on the edge or those.
Yeah.
Oh.
Some of the officials in this tournament have had, I don't want to name any, but it seems like it's piled up on them. They either got to make a on-the-line call or right at the buzzer call, and those are always tough calls to make.
Yes, they are. They're gonna make half the people happy and half the people mad.
Right,
so.
Right. Regardless of what call you make or do not make,
you're going to
have people upset at you.
Yes, especially when you have kids that are so evenly matched and, you know, one little break is the difference between wrestling today or yesterday and or even just
absolutely,
making it here.
Absolutely. Hey, are you a teacher at Garrett?
No, I'm not. I work as a computer programmer during the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you couldn't think of that.
Well, I get on the computer now that I'm retired. I get on there a little bit more. But so you name your own hours, so you're there to practice on time.
Yeah, I go in early and yeah.
What is the size of Garrett?
We're about 550 students. We're a small, so we're 2A school. Yeah, we got a big freshman class. We might bump into 3A for a couple years, but I'm not sure. Depends on another or like our class coming in after that. We got a real big freshman class this year.
So it could go to what, 3A?
Yeah, we'd be in the very, very bottom of 3A. We just got a real big class and might bump us there if we have another fairly large class coming up right behind it, so I'm not sure yet. Have to talk to our principal that's sitting right behind us.
Oh, right, he's
watching. Yep, he's here watching McCray.
Does McCray have plans on going to college?
Yeah, he is. Right now he's leaning towards trying, but, I mean, after this weekend, might open up a few opportunities for him. And I know a lot of coaches are interested in him. He just really didn't do it in the postseason yet, and this year finally got over the hump. And he's placed at Fargo after his sophomore year and really opened his eyes about where the level he can wrestle at. So hopefully placing here tonight will open some other opportunities.
Now, did he make it here last year or not?
No, he lost in the ticket round last year. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, just ran into a better wrestler that day, and it was a tough loss for him, but it motivated him for this year, and he decided that he wanted to hit the weight room a little bit, if you can't tell.
Yeah,
I didn't believe him when he said he was, all the kids were saying during football, said, yeah, he's really jacked, he's really jacked. I'm like, okay, whatever. He's always pretty well built, and I saw him, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, he's imposing.
Yeah, he definitely,
trying to develop a nice program over there.
Yeah, yeah, we got it.
Former wrestlers are over there.
Yeah, that's some good wrestling. Esther and Coach Callahan do a great job, and I helped out that first year, their first official year, and saw the groundwork being laid, and it was a good groundwork, and Esther coming over there helped out tremendously. He does a lot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wrestled in high school. I wrestled at Garrett. I was a semi-state qualifier there, and I end up trying wrestling in college. I wrestled in Findlay in Ohio. Yep, Roughnecks. Yes, sir. Yep. Oh, Nicky's there. He's doing a good job. Coach Nelson likes him, and I hope I had a little bit of influence in getting him, to want to go over there, and he's doing a good job there starting for him, and hopefully qualify for nationals this year. Just a hair short last year.
I tell you what, one of my toughest, I was like a freshman in college. I wrestled at Anderson, I dropped the program.
Mm-hmm.
But my freshman year in college, which was 70, I wrestled a guy by the name of Arnie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's in the record books or film, but he was a skinny guy, and he didn't look like much, but he was a tremendous lady.
Yeah.
He rode me to my college.
Yeah.
So he beat me the first time I wrestled. He was because he got the legs too long. Oh, that's our hand?
No, Barquillo. He comes up to the club. Real hard worker. Great kid. Glad to see you. He's right over here on mat one. He got seventh. Was about a hair from being in the semis. Almost beat Rayleigh and just came up a little bit short. He's a junior. Yeah, he's a real great kid. He comes up to the club and works his butt off, and it's good to see it. No. He's, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he's a good wrestler. Just seventh's probably not exactly where he wanted to do, but he'll be putting in the time this spring and summer, so he'll get it done next year. Oh, wow. Lovejoy and Kiefer is they're funky. They're fun to watch. What? Yes. Yes, that was I like that. If more people wrestle like those two, it'd be a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
They like to, they get in weird positions and up on top. And the other Kiefer's up.
Nah,
they're both juniors. Yeah.
This is Bevins' kid.
Yeah. Oh, Bevins. Yeah, Bevins is real good. Yeah, he's kind of one of those kids that's under the radar right now, but he's a three-time placer, four-time qualifier, just had some tough weight classes and wrestled. I mean, he wrestled right, real tough down to the wire.
Yes, yeah.
He's a very good wrestler, and I mean, I don't know where he's looking to go to college, but he could be a diamond in the rough for a lot of schools, either D1 or even like D2 or D3. Real nice kid, too. I've talked to his parents a lot, and they're real nice people.
Real supportive.
Yeah.
Well, that Yorktown program is really blossomed.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, they have. They gave us a big whooping early in the year, and our kids didn't like it too much. It wasn't fun. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, one of didn't run of them wrestle. I think one of them might have been in the finals against, I think one of either Angel Escobedo, I believe, maybe. Or search this one of those studs. I've been paying attention a little bit. Yep, I was there 5 years with Sean Nelson. It's the one that I was his first year. No, it's he's the one that's there right now. He's been there. His first year was my freshman year, and he's. Oh yeah, they do a great job there. They have.
Now, were you there when Kachalaba was there?
No, I was about a year or two later. Late, yeah. Oh yeah, I've heard stories of him. We had a guy in the room. He's an Olympian for Cuba, Alberto Rodriguez. He was helping out for my first couple years, and he was an amazing wrestler. I mean, he never touched his knees when he shot, and just, I mean, we had some pretty good kids, and he wouldn't even break a sweat wrestling us, and it, just one of the most amazing people. And that's when he was in Cuba. That was his job, wrestle 8 hours a day, and he got paid. Like, man, I want that job. Oh yeah.
88.
Yeah.
89. Some of Tom Miller. I don't know Tom Miller. Mm-hmm. Oh my man, we got involved in a Greco-Roman tournament, and the Russians had just left there. I believe 88. There were old Fords, 57 Buicks, everything before 58.
Oh wow.
And a lot of Russian-made cars, and they had a lot of the Russian influence, so they were really good in Greco and really good in freestyle.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they have a good freestyle program there, and just
yes.
I've heard some secondhand stories about, you know, the wrestling down there and how they.
Well, if they didn't perform, they were shipped off.
Yeah.
Less conducive environments, I should say.
Yeah, I've heard some stories about him, and just it's amazing how, like, they would give the athletes a little bit better food and stuff, and how he'd like take some and give it to his family and stuff, and it's just, you know, because his family didn't get very much, he just got all the, you know, good stuff, and. He would, you know, take bread or whatever and give it to his family and stuff. So it's.
You know, the thing I remember taking back from that experience, Joel, is when I took this team down, the Cuban wrestlers, they must be.
Oh, sorry.
They must be drilled on not showing any emotion.
Yeah.
I don't know how this Rodriguez was. You could hit him in the mouth, and these were 15, 16 year old kids.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I don't know if it was part of their culture or what, but, you know, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some kids really got upset. You know, they kind of threw off their handle and trying to calm them down, but you could ran into them, but they were just like nothing was happening.
Yeah.
There was no emotion. And I don't know if that was part of their culture or they trained.
Mm-hmm. That's hard to teach a kid.
Yes, it is.
I mean, if you don't get flustered by that kind of stuff, you should be, it's, good for you.
Yeah, that's
definitely.
The thing that really turned me on to their style of wrestling. It's very good, too.
I'll wrestle him for it. I have a little bit of weight on him. That's the only thing I can say I have on him. Probably bench presses more than me. And I'm actually the assistant. Yes.
Yeah.
What the? No. I'm the assistant coach. I'm the head coach is Luke Fielding.
Oh, okay.
He wrestled for New Haven back in the day, and we just... Yeah, we do wrestle them now. Yep, oh, Barry Humble. Yes. Oh, wow. Oh, yes. We have many battles with him. Finally... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a very good coach. He,
yeah, he's got a good athletic director.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, that helps. He's pretty supportive of wrestling, I heard.
Yeah.
Yes. He's Barry does a great job there and gets a lot out of his athletes, and they're always fired up to wrestle Garrett. I know that. Yeah. Yeah, that's some great wrestling this weekend. Yeah. I don't think the seniors aren't, they have a few good seniors, but I think the sophomores and juniors in Indiana are real tough, real tough. Last year we had a real good senior class, and now we have had a year kind of a little bit down as far as the seniors, but after that, this year, the juniors and the sophomore class is tough. A lot of good kids. It's kind of neat to see how like the cycle goes. We have a lot of good kids, and it'll be fun, hopefully next year, to be down here and bring a couple new kids from Garrett.
How we doing, okay?
You're number one, right?
I don't know. Not in my mom's eyes. She says my brother's number one.
Well, I'm going to have to get going. I got my... Zach's going to be coming up pretty quickly here. Thank you very much. Yep. We're gonna end on a winning note.
Yes, that's real positive. And you know, I used to tell my kids, go for third and fourth, you'll remember this match for the rest of your life.
Yep.
You know, just get after it. And most of the time they open up and they really open fire.
Yes, they will hopefully finish on a winning note.
He'll do good.
Thanks a lot.
Who we have here? That was Joe Caprino, assistant coach at Garrett High School. Joe Runner, the originator, the founder, the one and only of IndianaMan.com, and I have sitting in here with me a young man who's a sophomore from Eaton County. Cody, a sophomore. About the only thing you and I have in common is I won the state lightweight championship 42 years ago. Can you fathom that? So I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
And I got beat my junior year, and I was not going to let that slip away from me my senior year. It's been 42 years, and I remember like it last night. And you probably do after winning your first.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hey, first question here. What one factor over the course of just this year do you feel has prepared you for this moment tonight? You have to look back over the season.
For just the season that's prepared me for the season? Or? Oh, yeah. A lot of things.
It's hard to single out one. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Sure. But probably just working all year round. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By the way, how much weight are you cutting? Are you cutting a modest amount?
A little bit. Not too much.
Did you break it down early in the year?
Yeah, I did it. Oh, yeah. I started getting my weight down probably towards like the August, and just gradually just eating good, getting workouts in just to keep my weight down, because I knew I wanted to wrestle 103. So.
Oh, you did get that goal.
Oh, yeah.
See, when I was a junior, I was running up at 95 was the weight. I was 77 as a freshman, so I was way underweight. But if I got... you know, I got beat in the finals my junior year, so my goal was, hey, I'd like to make 103, but I came back in, 95, but I was about 104, and man, I didn't have much body fat on me. So I said, I'll go to 103. Coach Smith, Al Smith, from the Al Smith tournament was my coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the broadcast. So I said, Coach Smith, I'm gonna go to 103. And after one practice, I got down to 60 pounds. And that made me, I said,
I think I can make 95, so I went back down to 95 and won the state. But I did, because you turn it down a little bit, it's a little... It was a little frightening for me to cut that much weight. But I'm glad to see you have a handle on the weight issue, and that's real important. What's your ultimate goal? You want to wrestle in college? I take it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, you got a good start. Hey, second question. What percent of wrestling do you think is physical, and what percent do you think is mental out of 100?
Man. I think it's probably about half, really. I mean, you got to be...
You can't put one on in front of the other.
No. Yeah, really. It just depends on... Sometimes you got to be more physical, and... Sometimes you got to be more mental.
Yeah.
Really kind of...
Yeah.
In the situation.
Yeah, you can't overthink. I think sometimes you can't worry about what this guy's going to do. Maybe you've got a good fireman's carry. Sometimes you worry about the fireman's carry and he beat you with a single.
Yeah.
So you're
yeah.
Running.
Yeah.
So you got to respect your opponent, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You can't fear him, and you got to focus on what you're going to do. And so it becomes a mental aspect there. Plus, you got to be physically. You got to have confidence in your conditioning level, obviously.
Hey,
you know, every sport, like when I was growing up at baseball, I had Mickey Mantle was my hero, and Dan Gable was my hero in wrestling. Who's your hero?
My hero.
There didn't even have to be a wrestler or an athlete for that matter.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd probably say my hero would be Brady Ebert.
And?
Because he's helped me a ton over the years, and I look up to him, and... He's helped me a lot with
wrestling. Is he your coach?
No, he's one of our coaches at CIA.
Oh, okay.
Central Indiana Academy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eddie Pendowski.
Yep. Coach B. That's our. He's a coach with him.
Well, great. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your mental toughness? You know, this sport gives you a lot of mental toughness.
Oh, yeah.
The best.
I'd give it probably a... I don't know, 10, I guess. I mean, I'm pretty...
You're pretty modest.
I'm pretty mentally tough, I think.
You wrestled Petra before, have you?
No, I've never wrestled. Never wrestled.
So you don't know what to expect. You're just going to go out and try to impose your will on him, I take it?
Yep. Just going to go out there and wrestle.
Okay.
Hey,
my last question. What is the number one reason why you feel you deserve to win a state title tonight?
I mean, that's been my goal. To win state title. I mean, this will be my second one, hopefully. And yeah, I've put in all kinds of time. Hard work, wrestle all year round, constantly. And it's just put in a lot of time to feel like.
Well, you're a great young man to talk to, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck tonight. And
thank
get after
your
skill, Cody. You take it to it.
Thank
care.
You.
Take
thank
care,
you.
Thank you very much. That was Cody Phillips from Union County High School. Last year's state champion and returning state champion. 3 pounds. A well-spoken young man.
Well,
I'll see if that
makes a difference. One of these is
good.
Testing. Just plugged in.
Yeah.
This one must have a short in
right now.
Can you hear me? I'm not even on this one. I can't hear anything on this one. There's a short somewhere. There it is. It's that splitter. It's that splitter. Can you switch it to a different channel? Whoa. Testing. Nope. I'm good right now. Can you hear me, Coach? You can't hear me?
I can't hear you.
I can hear you.
You can?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm pretty good right now. trying to get this situated here.
Yes, I got it.
Well, what do you think so far about some of these interviews, Coach? Some of these young wrestlers? There, not to talk.
I thought I was talking to 20 and 30 year old men.
Oh, I can't believe the intelligence. Yeah, I talked to him while you were still talking to Joe Caprino. And I tell you what, he is something else, isn't he? He is something else. It's this one here, because I can't hardly hear Henry, and I turn it up and it squeals. I'm number one. Well, why did when you move that one, it just turned me down?
Testing. Not testing. I can barely hear. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
A little better.
A little better. Testing, testing, testing.
That's mine.
Testing. Pretty good. I can hear myself fine.
I can hear him.
I can hear it.
Okay, we're good now. Now I'm going to turn that phone back down.
I want to get the key down if I can.
All right.
Are you archiving these videos or these interviews?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you what, Coach. I went down on the floor before. During the semifinals, and right before the consolation matches here, talked to some coaches. Got their permission first to be able to talk to some of their wrestlers, and let them know that it's just about something for the kids, a little something special for them,
sure.
And to let some of these fans that weren't able to come down to Conseco and watch it in person to hear some of these. And like you said, talking to them, it's talking to Cody Phillips wasn't like you were talking to a sophomore in high school.
No, it wasn't. He's got his head screwed on pretty straight, I'd say.
Yeah, I think.
I don't think his state title last year was a fluke.
Well, I don't either.
Seeing how
he's back here again for number two.
Yeah.
And, It's not like it's a done deal because Mr. Petrov from Hanover Central is going to have something to say in that deal. But
yeah, he's wrestling well. It should be a barn burner. I really look forward to a good match. It's a shame somebody's got to lose on the scoreboard.
There's.
Did you talk to Derek at all?
Yeah. Yep, I'm supposed to have. Yes.
We should have some more. Some more contestants here that are going to be in the finals matches coming in. I know I talked to Coach Wilkins from Portage, and Sean McMurray was going to come up and see us when they were going to go get something to eat and relax a little bit.
Oh, really? They're still out of the building.
But, they haven't come back yet. And I talked to Derek Snyder from Mishawaka. Want to congratulate Derek and the rest of the Caveman crew on their tying a state record for the amount of wrestlers that are placing in a season. It was 9, right, Coach?
Yes.
And that's been a record that Evansville Modern Day set back in 2003, I believe you told me.
I think it was 2003, but it might have been 4.
How many years have you been coming to the state finals?
Well, I started, my first year was 1966. How many years ago was that?
A lot.
I missed 67, just paid in 68 and 69. 70, I was here. 71, I missed. 72, missed. 73, missed.
Why did you miss them 3 years in a row?
I was college wrestling. We actually had a tournament on this weekend. And then I hit most of them all the time. And I've also been to the NCAAs, too. I missed 1 year out of 70, since 78. 1978. And
Bradley Wardwood of Lake Central, 9-2 on that number 3.
I missed it out in Corvallis at Oregon State, and I hit them all after that. So I've seen my fair share of wrestling.
I talked to Coach Wink.
Yeah.
And he's doing well today. He's got Roach and Sirtis, who are both both dominating this year. I mean, just the matches that we saw last week at the Maryville Semi-State, and then this weekend, they are both wrestling real well. And I talked to Coach Link, and he was going to talk to his wrestlers. And, you know, it may be, too, that some of the wrestlers didn't want to come up. You know, they have focus. They got other things on their mind. But we really appreciate the individuals that have come up and talked to us. And
that's a great point.
And that was my main focus, was to let the coaches know. You know, I realize that coming up here is just a little bit of a something for them, but their focus is what's going to happen in a couple more hours when they're out on that mat under the lights. Have you heard any numbers on attendance?
8,280 last night, I believe. 8,280 last night. I'm not real sure on this first round and second round constellation. It looks like it's a lot more full up top.
Yeah.
Cameron Breeder, Lowell, 95 on that number two.
Than it was this last night.
Yeah, I agree. I have been told that we have got people listening on the internet from Japan, Iraq. Got some people in the military listening from Iraq, which is an awesome thing that we can provide them a little bit of Indiana wrestling. Want to take a quick second to thank them that are serving in our military all over the world, whether they're in the United States or somewhere overseas.
We're at 145 in the constellations. I think some mats are ahead of the other. No, that's Suramai at 45 on mat two. Mat one, that's Alex. That's Dalton, isn't it? Dalton Sparks. And I believe it's a 45-pound match here on mat three.
Yeah, you can tell Sparks. He's got
the frog.
He's got that crazy hair going on. I like it. Kind of like my hairdo. Kind of crazy.
Oh, boy.
You know, I was talking to Cody Phillips a little bit before you were before you interviewed him, Coach.
Yeah.
And he said he thinks his competition's a little bit tougher this year than last year. And
That's interesting.
I was surprised to hear him say that, being that, you know, he's a year older and a year more experience under his belt, but that just shows you how much everybody else.
Well, you can't take anything for granted. Yeah, it's like I told him, I was going to go up a weight class, but man, I just thought that I had better an opportunity. You know, every weight class has a size. You know, Bodie and I talked a little bit about that. And he's a big three-pounder, if you ask me. So is his opponent tonight.
Is he cutting much weight? I heard you ask him, but I wasn't...
Well, it's hard to tell because the good ones now, they're down to weight early in the year. Discipline themselves so that they don't have to crash and bounce like a lot of average high school athletes do. You know, they'll bounce 10 pounds overweight on the weekend, and they'll crash back down for the duel on Tuesday. You know, I was like that. What do you want?
Yeah, boy.
It's a long day. But it makes it worth it when you get good kids to talk to.
Yeah.
Give them their due respect or their... we're in the 145-pound placement matches. Center mat is mat number two. I believe Al Smith is doing the color on that. Mat one, we have Tony Holt and Randy Michelin.
Steve Claus coming up.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Want an interview or what?
excuse me. He's coming right now. Steve Craw from the Elkhart Truth is going to come up and talk a little bit. I'm going to hand the microphone over to him, and Coach Wilk, you can talk to him for a little bit and see what you guys can come up with here.
All right. Yeah, this is Henry Wilk on BroadcastSport.net, and I have the privilege of sitting down with a former student of mine from way back in the 70s from, I believe, Grissom.
That's right. That's that's the Stone Ages.
Yeah, Mr. Steve Craw from the Elkhart Truth, Sports Writer of the Year, as acknowledged by the National Wrestling Association. What year was that? A couple of years back?
Yeah, that was a few years ago, two or three years ago.
You're richly deserved of it.
Oh, thank you.
And just wanted to get you up here and talk, Steve, a little bit about wrestling, your feelings. How would you start off with the court match? How do you see it?
Well, you know...
It's a stall match. You got mixed emotions, obviously.
Well, yeah, I mean, without getting into all the behind-the-scenes details of all that, you know, that, and I'm sure you guys talked about it here, how, you know, stall transferred from Memorial and is at Mishawaka now, and they were, you know, workout partners up until that point. And of course, Stahl was a state runner-up last year, and he could very well have been a state champion, you know, in the Memorial singlet. We'll never know that now, but there was a lot of emotion going on there. And I kind of thought that match might be kind of feeling each other out, but as you described here, and you see on your video, that was Corp took it to him. And the strategy, as it turns out, I talked to Coach Seltzer. He said that the idea was to build a 6-point lead, and then he wanted him to be on his feet because at that point he was going to have to take him down four times, and he said, I didn't think you could take him down four times. Now, Corp wanted to go down in the third period. And Seltzer said,
yeah, he was
this is,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he said, he wanted to go down. He said, we got a game plan. We're not going to do that. Well, last week he did essentially the same thing in the finals, and Seltzer wasn't too happy about it. They kind of had a, you know.
Shouting
match. Yeah, well, he kind of walked away, you know. Oh, okay. But they got it together. But, yeah, it's like, and Zach said later, told me, I disrespected my coach. I shouldn't have done that, you know. So he knew what he had done.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing out there. But
figured he couldn't be turned, you know.
Stahl, he had that lethal splayed on.
Well,
you know,
that's Stahl's strength, yeah. Though, so why play into that?
Right. And that's why I was thinking that maybe he tried to build a 4-1 lead coming out of the first period, but you say 6-1 lead. And
that's
I understand that.
That's what he said, you know. And as it turned out, all the points were scored in that first period in that match,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And that big 3-point near fall was huge.
Yes.
That cradle was huge. But he came out after it, and he didn't sit back. And awesome that you bring out the coaching point of it and the athlete's point of it. And they're on the same page now, and that's what really matters. Now, the next point of business is to take care of his match in the finals with, he's got Bennett, doesn't he?
Sam Bennett, yeah, and...
he's a seasoned veteran.
Right, Sam Bennett beat him in the quarterfinals last year, and it was 5-4, and Corp had a 4-1 lead in the third period, and then he took a shot, and he got caught and he went around behind him, and then he rode him out, and you know, he beat him by a point, but he had that lead. And so I mean, they know what each other's going to do, or they have an idea. But then again, Court thought that, getting back to that stall match a little bit, he thought he was going to stand. You know, he moved around. Well, he liked that because even though he's a moving target, if you just stand in front of Court, you know, he's going to pick you apart. He can. But when he's moving around, Court told me, when I talked to him after the match, he said, I like that because that's what I do, so I'm more, you know, he's kind of mirroring what I'm used to doing, so that's what he said.
So, that'll be an interesting match, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
But he really looks super aggressive. He's so quick on his single legs. And of course, that's what won it for him.
Yeah, you know, Coach Seltzer said, you know, there's no sense, and I'm sure this is the way, you know, you believe in your coaching, and even today, it's like, well, there's no sense in leaving it out there. You walk away and say, I should have done this, I should have done that.
Right.
I mean, you can get too aggressive, I guess, but at the same time, you better not just hold back and then wonder why I didn't try this and I didn't try that.
Right. Or in the same token, you worry about the man's fireman's carrier and then he beats you with a single leg, you know. So there's no point. Scouting comes into play a little bit, but you got to focus in on what you want to do, and you got to go out and execute it. That's what
you kind of dictate the pace and what's going on, even if you know what their tendencies are. If they don't, you got to want to do what they. But, anything surprise you so far?
Not really. I was a little surprised at Anthony Caro's getting upset last night. And I really have some concerns about that. I don't know if you're aware of it, but his coach was suspended.
Yes, I did know that.
For a failure to abide by the weight policy that we have in hand, the 1.5%, particularly per week. And it's a pain. It's a necessary evil, obviously. But when you got to take 1/7 of a 1.5% of a person's body weight, and you know, I think we're all victims of sometimes being out of or too far under our weight plan.
Well, I think I think Coach said I read, you know, in the story that was in either the Times or the Gary Post about that that said that, you know, I've done this plenty of times before, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that do it, maybe not on purpose, but it just happens. I mean, but you like to say it's a necessary evil because you got to be healthy and smart about it, you know. But you lost 12 pounds in 1 week, and that's where they kind of blew the whistle.
Yeah.
But how can you go from 172 to 160 from one Saturday to the next? That's where I got in trouble, I think.
You know, it's amazing.
And that was one of the kids that. That beat Corp. That was one of his two losses.
Really? Oh, okay.
Corp lost to him when he went up to 160,
yes.
And he's also lost to Surma.
Yeah.
I think it was at 145. I think it was
early in the year. Just out
he's not market. Lost. Yeah, he is. Yeah. I think it was both at 160 because Corp hadn't got down to 152 at that point.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But, you know, then on a positive side of it, I talked to a young man, Cody Phillips, 103 for Union Kine, was just up here. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the weight issue, and I said, was there any thoughts about you going to 112 this year after winning the state last year at 103? And he said, absolutely not. I wanted, and he got down early. He was disciplined. He's like talking like through a 30-year-old man, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's amazing,
you know,
how mature some of these 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids can be. Yeah.
Really impressive, Steve. Yeah. It was very impressive. And, unfortunately, you know, you have kids, but you know, talking about the weight issue, they'll bounce up in weight, you know, 10 pounds overweight, and it's not really healthy.
And you're talking about Cody Phillips, 103-pounder. If he loses 5 pounds, that's a pretty big percentage of his body weight.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's like you don't see a baby, you know, for a few weeks. That's a big chunk of their lifetime, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a big percentage. And you know this very well from your wrestling career, and you wrestled with smaller weights, that Cody Phillips is a sophomore, and he's in the state championship match.
Mm-hmm.
If he continues to be a 103-pounder for two more years, that's going to help him. He's just going to be that much stronger and more.
Yes.
It's kind of hard for those guys because they have a growth spurt. They put on muscle and everything like that to stay 103 pounds. But if you got a senior that's 103 pounds, it's pretty good. Then, you know, because generally you got a lot of freshmen and sophomores in a lot of lineups just because, you know, people mature and get bigger.
I'll give you another example. Kyle Erzman, the finalist at 112 for Lake Central. Now, I know for a fact that Kyle was planning on going to 103 this year. He had a very difficult time making the weight class. As a matter of fact, early in the year, I had heard he was like 8 tenths over. That was the lowest he got, and then he weighed in at 108, trying to make 103, and he was struggling to make the weight. And I asked him point blank in his interview today, when you decided that you were going to go to 112, how'd you feel about that? Did you feel like you wouldn't be big enough for the weight class? These kids grow, it's a natural fact, you know. And one of his goals is to wrestle in college once he gets past high school. Same with Cody Phillips. So these kids are going to have to contend with the growth and their body, as their body matures. They're both sophomores, and they're going to get bigger. And, you know, nowadays, these colleges, the few that do wrestle at the Division I level especially, they're going to recruit guys at 125, 130, 135 to wrestle the lowest weight, which is 125.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be looking at the 119 pounders necessarily. But
the guys that put on some muscle but can cut a little bit of the extra weight and get down to 125 instead of having to eat a lot of cheeseburgers to get to the minimum.
Right. You know? And get out of that mentality that, hey, I want to be small. I want to be small so I can win, you know, which is a very immature, you know.
Maybe that'll work at this level, but when you get to that
lower levels,
that level, that that's not going to get it.
With them, you know, late in the season, by in terms of injuries, opening themselves up for injuries. And just learning wrestling rather than worrying about cutting weight, you know what I mean?
Well, I can think of a couple of examples. Nick Corp, you know, Zach's brother, he won at 171 5 years ago, and he wrestled 145, you know. Yeah, junior year, and the sophomore year, too. And he probably played football at 170, 175 or something. He quite a bit of weight, but whittled down to 145 by the end of the season. But he was kind of, he's a strong kid, but, you know, he wasn't as strong as he finally said it. As a senior, I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to weigh 171. I'm not going to wrestle 145 in college. He wrestles 184 now that he's 22 years old. He's a fifth-year senior at Purdue. So he's really grown into that, you know, that body, but and weightlifting.
It
and
looks good,
just,
too.
Just, really yeah, has, yeah. And then Steve Stahl, who is Ryan's brother, he won a state title just 2 years ago at Memorial, and he wrestled a smaller weight, but he decided to – he got hurt and came back late in the year, and he decided to go 189. And shoot, he was wrestling at 160, you know, the year before, and he just decided to go up, and he won a state title at 189, and that was a lot bigger than he had been. So
yeah, remember that very, very distinctly. So what are your plans as far as? You're still with the sports department?
Yeah, I'm still with the Elkhart Truth. Last week I was there 20 years.
20 years?
20 years, yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that... Valentine's Day was my employment anniversary, so it's easy to remember that. I've been kind of reflecting on all the things I've seen, but I've been to a lot of these... I'm kind of blown away by the fact that this is the 11th year they've been in this building. For the state finals, because I covered quite a few of them over Conseco.
Yeah.
Like, I started in 1990, but I was too late in the wrestling year, and I didn't go to the state finals that year. And I've been to every one except, I think, maybe one time since then.
What year did it move here? 99, didn't it?
2000, I believe, is what I read here in the program, is when it came over here. So that makes it 11 years. And I can remember Market Square Arena, that they had all this stuff marked there for liquidation around the building.
Yeah.
Well, you know that this isn't going to be around here much the next year because they're going to get rid of all this stuff, and, you know, of course they imploded the place. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with that place. This is a show place here, though.
Uh-huh.
You can't fault this facility, and I guess they couldn't maintain both places and keep them busy. But
Well, it's a lot better than the old Southport High School where I wrestled.
Well, I've been to Southport High School.
Yeah,
I was.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
the first team state was with
Team State there, yeah, when you went against Modern Day. And we were a group
we
of us.
Up, I guess.
Yeah, a group of us writers. We kind of, I fell into this routine that they go. They go to Shapiro's, which is a deli here on South Meridian Street. And we go in between sessions and go in there and we, you know, shoot the bull. And we were talking about that day and how a couple of newspaper types were. I think there was more action going up in the press. You didn't know anything about this,
no,
but they were yelling at each other for something about what
really
was going on in the match. And the guy was sitting next to me, was from one of the Evansville papers. Another guy from the Bloomington paper. They actually knew each other, you know, from. They had a history for something. And I didn't turn around because I didn't want to be in that argument, but I was sitting right next to the Evansville guy. Well, anyways, that was at the old Southport.
That was the inaugural team state, right?
That was the inaugural one.
Yep.
That was the inaugural one. In some ways, I think it's just as good there as it is at Center Point Grove, except Center Grove has a lot more room for people to move around, and it's, you know, a lot better than Southport for that reason. But Southport kind of had a, you know, a nostalgic feel to it. That's an old field house. That place,
yes.
I've been there since the 30s or the 40s, or anyway, so
yeah,
that's a neat place.
Fair share of wrestling championship, that's for sure.
I know that the, you know, the state tournament was held there a number of years, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
When you were wrestling, was it at Southport? Yeah.
Yep.
Was it,
and
it was in Bloomington before that, right, at IU?
Before that, yeah, I checked the record, but I think it might even be in there, but I do know that Southport was a venue that was pretty neat. I went down in 66, my first year. I was a freshman in high school. Al Smith took us down. Yeah. Southport High School.
Yeah, there you go. It bounced between Bloomington High School and Lafayette Jeff.
Is that the Warriors?
In the 40s. Yeah, that was right after World War II because they said IHSA didn't host it from like 44 to 49. They had a invitational, you know, tournament at that time that the IHSA just wasn't involved. And then after that, it was.
Wow, there was a lot of action there. Cameron Vlahos, who was disqualified in the semis because
from a headbutt, right?
I think that was the heavyweight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was heavyweight match, yes.
I think
yes.
He had an arm bar on the kid and maybe took it too high, and the referee deemed it.
Yeah, somebody told me it was almost like a MMA type of move, which is illegal here.
I know what it was. It was a two-on-one, and he tried to throw arm spin.
Oh, okay.
And a very dangerous move. Woo! Blow a guy's shoulder out or an elbow.
I've seen more... More shoulder type injuries and guys with shoulder wraps this season. It seems like that I've
had in
a while.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't know if it's just the torquing they're doing on it or they're just being careful and wrapping it, but there seems to be a lot of and some of these moves that they're doing, it's a wonder.
Yeah, you see a lot of chicken wings. They tend to wear on the joint, the shoulder joint.
Well, I know that Devin Reagan, a 215 pounder at Penn,
he suffered all year long.
Yeah, he suffered, and he broke his collarbone during football, and then he, you know, it kind of deteriorated, and that led to his problem, his left shoulder.
Never really gave it a chance to heal, I don't think, and hopefully next couple of months he can get that thing healed up. Well, there's some good sophomore 215 pounders.
Yeah,
This Franklin kid that took Lentz down to a 4-3 match in the semis.
Yeah, that's...
Kanura, I believe you pronounce it. He's very impressive.
Yeah.
There's a couple 89-pounders in there, freshmen that are very impressive. Sliga from Hamilton Southeastern and Culver Communities, 189-pounder. Now, were you at Fort Wayne last weekend, you said?
Yeah, I was at Fort Wayne, and it was kind of a rough week as far as the teams that we cover. We had a rough, this is one of the roughest years. We had 36 kids get there, but only three got through. Mm-hmm. And Corp, Jack Corp was one of those, and he won it. And we had Dylan Beckham, Goshen, and
Kroom, right?
And Kroom from Jimtown, yeah. His freshman. And, you know, no, you know, he's going to make a lot of more noise. If he's sure, down here and gets a taste of this, and of course, that kid wrestled a lot of big matches already in the AAU, level and the freestyle and things like that. But the first time he got a taste of this, and he's going to, you know, I would expect to see him down here again, and maybe his older brother is, you know, is coming back too, Colin. And, we had, 33 of the guys got knocked out, so it wasn't as, you know, it was kind of a tough year.
Yeah.
And then you get over here and see how the region.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah, the region's doing, you know, I think they've got, I think I counted 8 or 9 guys in the finals.
Is that
and of course,
right?
Yeah. And of course, Mishawaka.
Alone, yeah.
Yeah, Mishawaka's going to have, you know, 7 guys finishing the top 4. That'll work, you know.
That is really impressive.
I guess they've all but locked up the coach's
sure.
trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anybody can catch him for that. It was pretty much Mishawaka and Yorktown coming in if they did anything at all, just
yeah.
because of the number of qualifiers yeah. they had down here. I think 10 for Mishawaka and 8 for Yorktown.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting dual meet. When would they meet, Yorktown, Mishawaka, semis?
I think in the finals.
Oh, is it in the Yeah, you're right.
They're in the opposite brackets. It's Crown Point that
Mishawaka
sees first, and then, here we go. It's Lafayette, Harrison, and Castle, Ron Colley, and Yorktown, Perry Meridian, Indianapolis Cathedral, and Crown Point, Mishawaka in the quarterfinals, and then Harrison Castle winner will go against Ron Colley, Yorktown, and Perry Meridian Cathedral winner will go against Crown Point, Mishawaka in the semifinals. So the Tigers and the Cavemen are in opposite brackets. And just based on what I've seen today and what I saw at Yorktown last week at the semi-state, pretty tough, you know.
Some of the Mishawaka people I talked to aren't real comfortable with the matchup of Yorktown. I don't know. I didn't see all the wrestlers. I didn't see their 103-pounder, although I think he made it down here this year.
Yeah, and Mishawaka doesn't have a 103-pounder that got down here,
no.
So that's one of their...
They have Grant Martzoff, who's respectable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They kind of traded off. I mean, Martzoff went in the postseason most of the time, but I know that Martzoff and... their other 103-pounder wrestled in the team regional over at Jimtown. Of course, that a lot of people know that they beat Wawa C 75-0, Jimtown 63-1. They got a team point taken away, and that's why the minus. And so they were pretty dominant there. And you know, Wawa C's coming a long way, but Jimtown's a very good team, and so you know that was pretty impressive.
Well, they're running, 10 seniors, Mishawaka?
Mishawaka's going to lose 10 seniors, so they always seem to reload.
Sure, they do, yeah.
One way or another, so you know that they'll be good again next year, just exactly
how good.
How good, yeah. And who will be where. It's hard telling. I mean, you know, Penn's getting better and better all the time. I think they gave him Mishawaka its closest dual
match
this year, and, you know, I think
some things happened, you know.
I think Coach Harper and all his assistants kind of got that program coming around again.
Had a couple of tough losses down here with Alex Gregory and Andy Wiseman.
Yeah, Andy Wiseman, I think that he just ran into a buzzsaw, the kid that
that was
beat
a tough
him.
Fourth place draw.
I
think they knew that anytime you wrestle a modern-day kid.
Yeah, that he wasn't going to. In modern-day, they keep good position. They don't beat themselves. They got that, you know, watch out, and they'll put you in a spladle or something. And
you see, thank you, their 171-pounder spladle boots spladled a kid in the Russell backs here.
Yeah, that seems to be, if I've seen anybody do that, it's been modern day. That seems to be their signature move. All those kids probably know that from age 10, it seems like. And by the time they're in high school, they really have that perfected. But they, you know, they just don't get knocked off their feet very easily, and they just real balanced. That just seems to be modern day, no matter who it is. And Gregory, I don't know, make any excuses, but I know that Gregory's been fighting sickness, and he had sinus infection. I know he missed at least two, maybe 3 days of school this past week. When I talked to him, I talked to him on the phone because he wasn't at practice when the day I was there. And so I know he was, and he was kind of fighting that last week at the semi-state. So I think he got winded really quick, and he was able to, you know, get through, but he didn't. He wasn't his same. His, you know, the same Alex Gregory.
Right.
Of course, he's he's a junior, so he's going to be back. So.
Yeah, I got a few theories on that, but what do I know? I'm an old coach. But anyway.
Well, we want to hear your theories. We don't hear mine. You forgot him more wrestling than I ever know.
I think he might have been better off at 25 this year.
Oh, okay.
I think when he cuts down to 20, then he brought it down slow, and he brought it down right, and he stayed within the weight limit. You open yourself up for flu and colds and injuries when you're cutting them out. And as it turned out, the Chapel kid, the hindsight, obviously, turned out to do pretty well at 19. And, he's beat some kids that placed here at 25.
Yeah. Well, I never thought about that. But, yeah, I guess if you're cutting, I mean, this is, quote, unquote, the cold and flu season. If you're, I was talking to one of the wrestlers. I don't forget which one it was. It wasn't Gregory. I got sick early this year instead of later because he gets sick about this time of the year. But I got it out of the way by the time the tournament series came around. As it turned out, he had a little bit about of it, but he was feeling okay by this time. So, it's easy for your defenses to let down if you're cutting weight and trying to stay healthy at the same time.
It's a long season, and boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of ups and downs in it. And I think maintaining that extra weight helps to mentally battle through the colds, and your resistance doesn't get quite as low.
So you're not.
I think it would have been a better fit if Chapel would have stayed.
Yeah, if you go up a little a weight that you're more comfortable at, instead of trying to cut, because you gotta wrestle, you gotta weigh in so many times at the weight that you're certified at, and so you can't say, I'm going to wrestle comfortably at 152 all year, and then I'm going to cut down to 140, for the tournament. That's probably not going to happen.
Like I was asking Kyle Erzman, he started out at 103. He thought he was going to make 103, and then he had difficulty making it. And lo and behold, here he's in the state finals at 112. I had a kid 30 years ago that he was bound and determined to make 132. And he thought he could win the state at 32. He dehydrates himself. I said, Dave, go up to 38. He ends up third in the state at 38. And he really got a bad call on an out-of-bounds ball. He probably would have won the state hadn't got the call. But that's neither here nor there. But he wrestled a lot better, had a lot of fun. He dominated the guy for third and fourth place. I mean, he wasn't even a match. He tech-balled the guy. 32, he probably would have.
That's just it's amazing how much more strength they got when they can carry 6-7 more pounds, than what they're comfortable at.
And as a coach, too, you look at it and say, man, you get knots in your stomach thinking, hey, is the kid going to be 100%?
What I'm amazed at is that I know these guys have got this weight thing down to a science, most of them, by the time they get here, but, you make weight tonight. Then you got to make weight tomorrow to wrestle, at 9:30, 10 o'clock or whatever. And your first inclination is like, I want to go back and have a nice meal, and maybe you can't get too carried away. You got to get enough to, keep your strength up, but you can't go out. You got to know what you can be able to take in that you're not going to gain 5 pounds.
Absolutely. You got to be disciplined at it, and the younger kids have problems with it. The immature kids have problems with it. Here's the Boots kid again for modern day. He's a little more physical than your typical modern day kid.
Yeah, he's trying to he's trying to yank him down.
I think that's the influence of their new coach, Greg Schaefer, as opposed to the old coaching staff. With due respect to Mike Gable and Randy Helfrich, two excellent coaches. But they weren't as physical as Greg's trying to get him to be. I think Greg's trying to get him to wrestle more like a college style of wrestling. because he was a very good college wrestler.
Well, he was he came up through the modern day system, but then he was introduced to that more physical style
in college,
and so maybe that's what he wants to put his.
And the same can be said with a lot of new coaches, Steve. Brad Harper is a prime example of that. I mean, he teaches a very physical style, which conducive to like when he was at Purdue, obviously.
Yeah, that Big Ten style. Anybody who's
been
to a Big Ten match or seen it on TV, they know that those guys are messing around.
Now the battle is to get the kids to buy into it, and it's going to take time. You know, it's not going to be. And it's going to take time for the modern day program to adjust to Greg Schaefer's program, just like it's going to take time for the Penn to adjust to Coach Harper. But I think they're on the right track, and he's got that enthusiasm. Program's really going pretty strong down at the lower end with the elementaries and middle schools.
Yeah, if you can't get enthused about wrestling and you're wrestling for a guy named Raul Donati who's at Discovery Middle School, and of course I'll toot Raul's horn because I've known Raul for 40 years.
Did you graduate, Raul?
I did not graduate from him, but I went to kindergarten with him.
Is that right?
Yes, I did, and I went when high school came around. I moved to Elkhart County, and so I didn't go to Penn, but I was in the system, and I knew people out there. I don't know if they care anything about this, but yeah, we went to kindergarten, and it was at Schmucker's where they held it.
Really?
yeah. But anyways, I've known Raul for a long time, but he's just he's so positive, but he's one of those guys. He can fire people up because that's his kind of. He has me wanting to.
Yeah.
After I talk to him, it's like he peps me up, and he's just talking about his kids and.
Yeah. Well, at Discovery, he's like the Pied Piper. The kids follow him around. He teaches phys ed there. They like phys ed, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And he's a big weight man, and he's a lot of fun and energetic to be around. You know, I work out with his dad, who was on the Italian Olympic team at the fitness.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, at the fitness.
I haven't seen him in many years, but yes,
but
I know John.
He's over Italy right now.
So okay.
If Raul's, if he's listening, we're gonna give a shout out to him, and of course Mark and Claude. They were all great wrestlers for Penn back in the 70s and early 80s. And, I refereed a match with Discovery Tuesday and Wednesday night this past week. And at the end of the varsity match, he's always got these exhibition matches where he'll pit one of his wrestlers against another one of his wrestlers. Mm-hmm. The other team didn't have enough guys. So I look over at him and he says, "One more, Henry. One more, Henry." And he keeps sending these junior high matches at me with the one finger up saying, "One more, Henry." We get a kick out of it. I said, okay.
If you were getting paid by the match, you would have been a wealthy man that night, huh?
Yeah. I would have walked away a millionaire. Just one more. But now we got a standing joke. His assistants go to me, "Henry, just one more." As I walk in the door.
Well, the numbers that you had at Penn at any given year, so you could have, you did that kind of thing, a lot of exhibitions.
Yeah,
or
got to give kids matches. It's more than winning matches. It's giving kids an exposure to the sport, selling the sport because it is it's a great sport. A lot of great lessons learned. Morin just got defeated for, was that fifth and sixth, I believe.
You know, you touched on something else again there. I was talking to a guy I met here today. He's the editor of the Newcastle paper, and he was talking about a column he wrote about elementary wrestling. And, the gist of the column, and I didn't read it, but he was telling me about this, that sometimes you can learn things from losing, especially at that early age. Not that you want to go out and lose, but, you learn how to handle that, and there's some lessons to be learned there. He had one of the coaches that had that taken to him or something, one of the high school coaches, and he didn't quite see it that way, and he came at him at a tournament and said, I think you're hurting us with that mentality. I mean,
oh really?
Yeah, I don't know what do you think about that?
Well, I think one of the greatest lessons learned could be from one of the greatest ambassadors of the sport of wrestling, Dan Gable. Dan Gable was 181-0 going into his final match his senior year in college. He's wrestling a neophyte sophomore who never won a national title again, Larry Owens from the state of University of Washington, and Gable gets beat 13-11. I've seen it. I've got it on film at home. And he said that was the most important factor of his life. It motivated him to go on to win the Olympics. And, you know, losses that in wrestling.
Once you guys have discussed the amount, the difference in the number of finalists from each semi-state.
Oh, we were just talking about this.
Who wants us to discuss it? Oh, did he call you? He's not down here, is he?
No.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking a little earlier about how well the region is doing, quote unquote, Maryville.
Out of how many? 28? Okay, out of 28 finalists today, tonight, Maryville Semi-State has 12 finalists. Fort Wayne has, well, I'll go in descending order. Newcastle has 8 out of 28. And in third place, Fort Wayne has 5 out of 28. And Evansville has, is that an 8?
That's a 3.
That's a 3. Wow. Wow.
Well, that's kind of like what I was saying a little while ago about about how Mishawaka and Yorktown, and Mishawaka out of the Maryville semi-state and Yorktown came, you know, Yorktown actually came through Fort Wayne, but you know, there's a lot of Newcastle wrestlers down there too and wrestlers that came through that semi-state, so that's
my unbiased opinion, being in the officiating, and I think what Jeff is asking here is a blue collar question. You look at Maryville, that region, it's always been this way. You're getting blue collar people that are hard working Americans. Like Gable says, America needs wrestling. It really does. The value of fighting for a piece of meat on the table, working hard to accomplish your goals, working hard to support your family. These are things that this sport promotes. And I'm saying, I don't know how the correlation here, but the Maryville Summer State is a blue-collar area. And I'm not saying...
That doesn't mean that the rest of them are soft,
right.
But that's definitely a blue-collar
area. And I tell you what, you can see it when you're referee over there. When a Maryville kid comes out to tie up with you, they tie up very vigorously. Not cheap shot-ish. But, you know you're in a match. Their presence is felt. And I don't think you get that physical, because I've officiated freestyle and Greco-Roman all over the state, and I can tell you that some areas don't teach that aggressive nature, I guess you could say. And
I mean, that's just, you really have to train and get used to that kind of physical weight of going about things if you're not used to that.
My college coach wanted to make every practice as hard as he could make it, because you'll be in a match where you're going to get to that point where you're going to have to crack. And he wanted to put me in that environment as many times so that I would respond in a positive manner. And that's why Iowa's so successful. Their practices are worse than their competitions. And they just put themselves...
It's almost like a day off to them when they have the match. Huh?
Yeah, they take themselves out of that comfort zone, you know, that so many of us become too comfortable with.
Yeah.
You can't... If you don't practice hard, you're not going to perform in competition. You know, I think every coach here can tell you that, and I've had wrestlers, you know, that, you know, loaf in practice, you know, down deep inside... You know, and you know down deep in the back of your mind that, hey, if you don't get on this kid and you don't push him, you know, he's not going to respond the way you want him to respond. And it's, how you doing? Yeah.
Well, it was fun, Henry. I think
Steve,
I'm going to...
I learned a lot from you. Every time I talk to you, I learn from you.
I learn more from you, but thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for stopping by. Steve Craw of the Elkhart Truth. We're at BroadcastSport.net, and with us right now, we got two of them. Who wants to go first? Oh, the Bennett boy. All right, come on. You're a lighter weight. You come up in here. Mason, right? Mason Berryman. I'm Henry Wilk. I was Anderson College's first All-American. And, you know, they dropped the program. Yeah. AU. It was Anderson College when I was in school. You're in the finals at 140 pounds. I got a couple questions.
35.
I'm sorry, 35.
Sorry.
And you wrestled Matt Guerrero from Mishawaka, where I went to high school, and I coached at Penn, which is right in Mishawaka.
Okay.
And he was a tough match, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's got that low shot, and
real quick.
He did a real nice job of cutting him, down blocking him, and a lot of great things. Mason, I can't remember what was the score, 6-4? No, 3-1, wasn't it?
3-1, yeah.
3-1, yeah. I got... I'm old and I can't remember all those scores, okay? But you did a heck of a job. Hey, my first question is, you know, over the course of the year, you know, a lot of things happen. Just this year, I know you're a senior, correct?
Yeah.
What was one factor, and what do you think maybe that happened during this course of just this season that might have set you up for this particular moment to make the state finals? Can you pinpoint anything for me?
I really can't pinpoint anything. I mean, this year more than anything, it's just been kind of a slow and steady pace all the way to today. So, I mean, it's just kind of been slowly climbing up the ladder to get to the point. I feel like I've peaked out perfectly. So
that's what you want to do, peak out at the right time. That's a good point. So what you're basically saying is more of a lifestyle than anything.
Yeah, yeah, it's not really one event.
When did your training start?
I train year-round, but conditioning started in late October or early October, so that's when I started hitting it hard. But I've wrestled all summer.
Are you cutting much weight?
Yeah, I walk around at about 45 to 48. So I mean,
you're not one of those wrestlers that inflates all this stuff, right?
No,
I coached for 30 years. When I heard a wrestler say I weigh like 140, coach, when I heard that word "like" in front of 140, I knew they were way heavier than that.
Yeah.
Okay, Sam. Mason. Hey, what part of the sport do you think is, percentage-wise, what part is physical, what part's mental, in your opinion?
I think it just depends on the wrestler. I mean, you know, with me, I think last year wrestling at state, it was all mental. But now I've been there. Yeah, I know what it's all about. The crowd doesn't scare me, so it's all physical for me now, basically, I feel.
You know, that's funny. Was last year your first year here?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was a junior, that was my first year at state finals years ago. And I said the same thing. I said, man, the next year, I'm used to it. You know,
yeah,
I know
exactly
what to expect. I think that's a big plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Guerrero was here last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe he was.
And who do you have in the finals?
Brock Norton.
Norton from Fort Carroll. Fort Carroll, okay. You know, every sport we have, like Mickey Mantle was my idol in baseball, Bobby Richardson, some of those other old-timers, and wrestling Dan Gable, of course, was my idol. I wrestled just a couple years after he did, but he was still the ambassador of our sport. Who do you have as an idol in your eyes? It doesn't have to be an athlete.
You know, I have to say it's my grandpa.
Is that right?
Not really. I mean, that's basically all I can come up with. I haven't really followed any athletes that I can remember. But, yeah, my grandpa has always kind of been there for me, and he's always kept me going and kept me motivated, so it had to be my grandpa.
Really? Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
To have a family member to be your idol.
Yeah, he's actually the one that got me wrestling when
right?
I was in second grade. So
pushed you.
And he's pushed me all the way until this point. So.
Oh, that's super.
Yeah.
Hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, what would you rate yourself as far as mental toughness? You know, when the chips are down.
You know, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I'd have to say 10. I think that's one of my best characteristics. I've always been known for being mentally tough.
Like when you're in practice and the coach, Hoover's your coach, isn't he?
Poyer,
I'm sorry. Tried to break you in practice. How do you respond in situations like that?
I usually just try to keep pushing
through it. Because every time you get through it, you
feel
better.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Hey, my last question before I let you go. What is the number one reason why you feel you deserve to win a state title tonight?
I've been doing this my whole life, you know, and obviously I haven't got a state title yet, so I mean, I've worked my whole life. I've always been out there grinding. So I feel like it's my time to win. I feel like I deserve this. I know I deserve this. So.
You owe it to yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, best of luck.
Thanks.
Take it to them tonight. And, hey, you ever run down Range Line Road over there in Anderson?
Yeah.
I used to run that track all the time when I was in college. Hey, best of luck to you, Mason.
Thanks.
You take care, bud. All right. That was Mason. Berryman from Anderson Highland. And right now, coming in, 152-pounder from Anderson Highland.
Yep.
Sam Bennett. Mm-hmm. You run that Range Line
Yeah. I hope I didn't wear a track in there for you, Sam.
That's fine.
Hey, you're wrestling a court boy tonight from Malcott Memorial.
Yep.
And he was what? Did you wrestle him last year? You beat him by a point last year.
I beat him 5-4 last year.
Yeah, but that was last year. And
that
know,
was.
I know you're putting that behind
you. I'm not overlooking him.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't. Hey, my first question to you is much like with Mason. What's one factor that might occur this year that you felt might have prepared you for this moment tonight to make it to the finals?
I'd say there's a few. Just everything I've went through, like I've had some hardships. Back in September, about a month before season started, I shattered my ankle at practice wrestling, taking somebody down. I came back from that. I healed really quick.
You shattered it?
Shattered it. It was broken in two different spots on the same bone. Tore, jarred my ankle bone from my tibia, and tore a bunch of ligaments on the opposite side of the foot. Got those sewn back together. Got a metal plate in there right now. A couple weeks ago, I found out that I have a stress fracture on the same bone from all the sprinting I've been doing for conditioning.
Kind of like a shin splint, type thing.
Yep, kind of like a shin splint, only for my leg bone. And then about 2 weeks ago, or 3 days before sectionals, I was wrestling with my coach. He knocked my front tooth out. So walking around sucks without it. But, I mean, I try to hide it. But, you know, it'll be worth it for a state championship. So.
Well, you know and I know, Sam, that, you know, by the end of the year, there's not one of us in this tournament that has a pain. You know what I mean? It's like Gable said the other night. I was watching Iowa wrestle Minnesota on the Big Ten Network.
Uh-huh.
Gable said, hey, he's got to learn to wrestle with that sprained ankle.
Yep.
You know, he just got to learn to do it. And, you know, Gable, of course, was one of our ambassadors of the sport. Let me ask you this, not changing the subject, but what part of the sport do you think is mental and what part do you think is physical, in your opinion?
I think physical is starting the match off, getting to your stuff, not letting the other guy get in. Mental is something doesn't go your way, how you pick yourself back up, how you get back on track to whatever went wrong, and how to go out there and get the win is a lot mental. I mean, I had a triple overtime win earlier, and going into the last overtime, nobody would have thought I would have picked down, but I knew in my head, I was like, I'm getting away, and I'm going to shock everybody who thought that I would not pick down. And I did it, and that was all mental. I mean, I felt I was just as tired as I was 10 seconds before in the double overtime. But now it's triple, and I got to do it.
So you're fighting through it.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, interesting you said picking down. Nowadays, you know, like, you know, Alex Sertzis is. He wrestled for Iowa. One of his big problems was getting out from underneath. And, you know, sometimes you get so good in high school that you don't have to go underneath. But, you know, down the road, you got to develop your bottom offense. You know what I mean? And that's awesome. That's an awesome lesson. That was a good response. Hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself as far as mental toughness? You know, like when coach is really pushing you hard in practice, you're about ready to crack. How do you respond in situations like that? To me, mental toughness is how you respond, how you pick yourself back up.
Well, coming from Anderson Highland, I feel really privileged to be able to have been around the people I have, not just coaching-wise, but also other teammates like Mason. He's one of the toughest mental people I know. He's also one of the most aggressive. Also, Camden Eppert, he showed me unbelievable things that I just take and I try and be like that.
Incorporating your style.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, all the stuff he went through just to get the title, it was unbelievable, and he went out there and he did it. And that's the change that I have coming to the state finals is I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that can, no matter who you have, what's against you, you want to come out on top.
Rest on a blank face, just getting after. Good answer. Hey, you know, all sports we have idols. Who's your idol? Doesn't have to be an athlete.
It is an athlete. I'd have to say, I'd have to say George St. Pierre. He's a monster, and he's one of the greatest champions there is, in my opinion, not just athletically and what he's accomplished, but also as a person.
Okay.
I mean, I really admire him for how he handles himself, how people view him as a person, like before the match, after going on his sportsmanship. It's on another level, and I just really admire that.
pretty admirable on your part. Hey, last question here before I set you free. What is the number one reason why you feel you deserve to win a state title tonight?
I've been here before. I've lost out here. I've won close matches out here. But I don't want to fall short again. And I've put myself through harder things than one match that only lasts 6 minutes. I mean, a whole season of stuff. So that's why I feel I deserve it.
You owe it to yourself. Hey, best of luck.
Hey, thank
you. Don't sell yourself short and get after it.
I will.
Sam, and run that range line road. Keep focusing, bud. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care. That was Sam Bennett, your finalist at 152 pounds from Anniston Island. And he will be wrestling Mr. Zach Korb in the finals at 152 pounds in a few minutes. Two outstanding young men from Anniston Island. Coach, you just keep bringing them in, I'm telling you.
Hey, I'm trying. Been down there working my thing.
You're doing. Hey, you bought me a Coke. You got to be kidding me.
Well, you look a little parched. You've been talking.
I am. I've had a lot of fun with it. Meeting great people. You know, wrestling people are the greatest in the world.
Oh, you got
opinion.
That right.
I mean, if I was... It's unbelievable. Man, the mental toughness of some of these kids that you're sending to me. I think we're going to have some outstanding, just listening to a few of their philosophies on training and preparation.
What did Mr. Bennett have to say?
Man, he's just, he's learned a lot from his experience. Obviously, he's been here 3 or 4 times in a row, and he's come up short on a couple occasions, and I'm telling you what, he wants... Is Searchus and some of the other guys coming in? Or?
I still haven't found them. That's where I've been looking for some of these guys.
Well, getting back to, you know, I was really impressed with Sam and Mason, two outstanding young men from Anderson, Indiana. Matter of fact, they run some of the same tracks I used to run when I was a college athlete down there. It was like deja vu. I said a couple rows to them, and they looked like at me like I was the steel trap. Oh, God bless them, man. I tell you what, there are some great kids in the finals here representing. And I forgot to mention to those young men that Anniston Highland will be closing this year, from what I've read in the papers and just chit-chat here in the media room. And it will be all one high school, Anniston High School, because of the declining enrollment and the cutbacks in the state in educational funding. Mm-hmm. We're at the 215-pound
heavyweight right in front of us.
Oh, and then 215. Thank you.
Thank you. I was talking to Coach Farrell from Belmont a few minutes ago, and not that I was anywhere close to the level that Meyer is from Belmont, but it reminds me, it gives me flashbacks, because he weighs in at 205 pounds.
Wow, I thought he was small.
Yeah, he's...
Gee whiz. He had no aspirations to wrestle 215?
No, he... well, you know, the first year he came out, he had to beat Billy Baker. And couldn't do that. Learned a lot from him, I'm sure, you know,
sure.
Training with him in the room. And I talked to Coach Farrode earlier this year at one of the meets that I officiated, and he said no, he didn't want to go down. He could, I'm sure, down a weight class, you know, wouldn't have had to cut anything. But he's a pretty strong kid, and likes to use his speed and quickness to take care of some of these heavyweights. And obviously, he's... done a great job at that. His record is 38-8, and he's wrestling for third place in the state, weighing 205 pounds at the heavyweight weight class.
Boy, old Travis Thomas jamming underhooks.
Thank you.
Yeah, they seem to really have a great attitude.
Who's that, Coach?
Pretty dedicated, aren't they?
They have been through a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think those adversity. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what he said. Coach headbutt him or what?
Oh, really?
Oh, man. Says, well, I'd walk around with one shoe out.
It's funny, my girlfriend's a hygienist, so I...
Oh, really?
I had her bring the stuff home because he had to have a mouthpiece made because he broke his teeth in for a couple of weeks. So we had to get a mouthpiece made to
fit it over.
When did he shatter his ankle? In September, he said?
September. He was working on a CIA, and they had a space in between the mats for the tape, and he went to lift and bump somebody.
Oh,
and
Coach, you want to talk? Give him this? Talk about that?
Yeah. All right. We've got assistant coach James Pitts from Anderson Highland, and we were just commenting on the injury to Sam Bennett, his 152-pounder. You want to expound on that a little bit?
You're talking about the ankle?
Yeah.
Sam was down at CIA, from the way I understand it, and he was working on a mat, just doing some standard drilling. The mats weren't taped together real well. There was a little bit of a space, and he went to lift and bump another kid, and his ankle just rolled over, and that's what pretty much snapped his tib fib at the bottom. So Sam's a tough kid to come back from it. He got back on his feet, had a good surgery, and was back ready to go in about 6 weeks.
Unbelievable. And a plate in it?
Yep, plate, and then they say he's got a stress fracture now, but, I mean, he's working through it. He's a tough kid.
Yeah, adversity makes us a lot stronger. Now, how long have you been at, Coach Pitts, how long have you been at Anderson Highland?
I just got brought in this year, been under Coach Poyer, wrestled under Coach Poyer, and
okay.
He wanted some help with the bigger guys this year and asked me to join, and I was more than happy to.
How are your upper waist developing?
A couple of them showed us some promise this year. We got brand new guys. I mean, it's
really?
The first year guys. I had one kid that almost won conference. But, you know, next year will be a different year. We got consolidation going on, and we'll have some good kids.
Yeah, you, do they have wrestling in Anderson that feed into Anderson High School?
Yeah, Anderson Indians has a pretty good program.
And they take it you have a middle school feeder at Highland also?
Yeah, right. Yep, and, you know, Anderson Indians, to combine with them, they had a couple kids this year that showed good promise for next year, Achenbach, Dylan Gregg, We'll do well with mixing the teams up.
Well, I think you commented earlier you're going to make that transition probably in the summer.
Yeah, it'll probably be late summer before they finalize everything. They're trying to work out all the adjustments now. It'll be good for the kids, a little bit more competition.
Well, I know when I was in high school, Anderson was quite a wrestling town.
Yeah, and Highland, they started when I was in high school and started improving their program. And we just stepped it up ever since, and Highland's been kind of known the last 8 to 10 years for producing some champions.
Yeah, and for those people listening, Anderson Highland has had a state champion. He's going to be inducted in the Wrestling Hall of Fame as a wrestler tomorrow by the name of Calvin Jackson. Calvin wrestled at Anderson, I believe, in 94, 93?
Yeah, it was 92, 93, I think, was his senior
93,
year.
92, 93, senior year. And he went on to win an NCAA title for Michigan State. Later in the 90s, I'm not exactly sure what the date was, but his coach obviously was from my area up in South Bend, Mishawaka area, and he later went on to coach at Anderson, Al Lind. But it's been quite a run for you so far this year.
Yeah, yeah. For first year coaching, being down here, it's been an excitement and something I won't ever forget.
Now, do they have any clubs down there?
Yeah, we run some elementary clubs just for the younger kids to kind of bring them up the right way. And then most of our older kids, they just go to CIA in Indianapolis.
How far of a trip is that, CIA?
I think it's about a 30, 35-minute drive from where we're at.
We're right down 69.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where it's located. I haven't been to their new facility. but it's not too far for our kids.
I know Coach Pendowski is an excellent coach. I coached against him when he was at Portage up in the Northland.
Yeah, we've got one of our old wrestlers is on his staff, Brady Eppert, Camden Eppert's older brother. And he just joined him, I think, last year. He used to be assistant coach for Highland. He's an excellent wrestler, you know, helped his brother along the way. And good guy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I wish you the best of luck next year and
thank you very much.
Tonight, obviously.
Yep.
You got two going for the gold.
I'll be on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, thank you much, James Fitz.
Thank you very much,
Henry. Assistant coach, Anderson Highland. Take care. That was Coach James Fitz, assistant coach at Anderson Highland. He'll have two of his athletes on in the finals tonight, 135-pounder Mason Berryman and 152-pounder Sam Bennett. With me right now on your screen is Mr. Richard Jay. How you doing, Rich?
We're doing good this weekend. It's been very exciting here at Conseco Fieldhouse. There have been a lot of upsets along the way, a lot of close matches. This has been great.
A lot of tough calls for officials, too.
Oh, my God. You mentioned the two young men from Anderson Highland. They are continuing and finishing a great tradition with the Highlanders there in Anderson.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It's unfortunate for the young men at the school. The school goes on, and they hopefully will improve the education of the young people there in the Anderson area. But the program from wrestling at Anderson Highland has been really good. I heard you overheard you mention a young man named Kelvin Jackson from Anderson Highland. He wrestled in 1990. He was at the state meet in 1991.
Okay, so it was a little earlier.
Yeah, 1991. Well, the only reason I know that is that the first round that Kelvin wrestled at the state meet that year was against the kid from Gavitt. And the only thing the kid from Gavitt said to me beforehand was, "I don't want to get pinned." Yeah, well, he didn't. Kelvin tucked him in about the second period, but he didn't pin him. But Kelvin,
at that point, you knew you were in trouble.
Oh, man. Kelvin went on to win the state title that year and represented very well the East Central Indiana area. This has been great.
Now, how long have you been associated with this?
With wrestling?
Well, when did you start coaching at Gavitt?
Well, the
somewhere else before Gavitt.
No. When I first got out of college, I was a middle school coach there, and then I became a high school coach in 77-78. But I coached the middle school and became known to you through some freestyle and open wrestling. Then there at Mishawaka in the area, we brought kids over, and
oh my land,
we associated.
You remember those days? The sectionals.
When our bodies could move a little bit better, and the knees were a little bit more absorbent to pain and. Maneuvering around the mat, but we started back then, and in 1982 at the state meet, somebody was asked about families and individual careers of young athletes, of the wrestlers out here, and a couple of us said we'd go back and find some totals on kids in our area, and I've been keeping track of that information ever since that time.
That's astounding, really. And I can imagine you've compiled some records. You never get rid of them either, I bet, either, do you?
Oh, no. They stick around for a long time.
You have them all back. No eighth. So there's no eighth place at heavyweight because of the flagrant misconduct.
Disqualification. And we were sitting down at that mat, just to go on about that particular match, that heavyweight match in the consolation wrestle back. The wrestlers were just continuing going on, and the referee stopped the match. There didn't seem to be any out of the ordinary move that the young man did. Usually, when you have a flagrant misconduct like that, they call it headbutting. That was the initial response. Headbutting. Somebody always takes a step back or to the side, raises their hand up, indicating they're hurt, injured, something's wrong. But the people around the mat area, they saw nothing.
Yeah.
And we were really questioning where the official was in a different position. He had a much different view than the people sitting around the side, the media where we were sitting. But it sure didn't look like a butting of heads that we would normally see in wrestling when two heavier weights are contacting one another.
Ugh. Unbelievable.
That was very unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
Getting back to Hannah Gavitt, who was your probably your best wrestler?
Well, Gavin's had a few. The best that I was able to coach with was a young man named Ken Taroli.
Oh, yeah, my man.
He was a two-time state champion and...
pretty good wing series, as I remember, wasn't it?
Man, that and...
He could run anybody over.
He learned that from one of our... when he was a freshman and sophomore, he learned that from one of our senior kids. Kid went on to wrestle at Indiana State, and he came back for a vacation and showed Kenny this, to how to improve it from what we were teaching.
Is
it. He just
right?
taught him to tweak it just a little bit, and he made that very effective. His junior and senior year, he took some people to the mat that shouldn't have been there and put them on the back.
Yeah, yeah.
So we kind of tweaked around with that, and it helped a lot of wrestlers just win some matches they weren't scheduled to do.
Now, was Dennis Bond from Gavitt?
Dennis Bond was from Gavitt. He was back when you were
when
wrestling.
I was wrestling, yeah.
Dennis graduated 1968. He was state champion in 68. He was state runner-up in 69. And in 67, I'm sorry.
67,
math is not there
I
yet.
I thought he was.
Yeah, 67, he was state runner-up. And then the year before, as a sophomore, the young man that beat him at the regional ended up being state champion. So
really?
His last three losses in high school
wow.
were... All this, well, his
now,
last two losses.
Did he go on and play football at Michigan? Was he the one?
He went there. I know as a freshman he was at Michigan. I don't know if he completed sophomore or junior year, but I know as he went up there as a freshman.
It seemed like there was another kid from maybe Highland or in that area that was a good wrestler that went on to play at Michigan.
Oh, now you're gonna hit me with the wrong date. That may have been just before
Purcell
my time.
Or something like that.
I remember the name.
Something like Versailles. I apologize if someone's listening that knows who it is.
They can email you and correct you on that as well.
Yeah. But anyway, that region has really been tough. You know, I got a buddy of mine named Dave Adams, and I hope he's listening. Dave Adams was a national NCAA runner-up. He was a two-time state champion in Pennsylvania in 1956 NCAAs for Penn State. He's on, remember those old media guys they used to put out?
Oh, yeah.
There's pictures on the 56 media guy, I think.
Oh, gosh.
As a returning All-American. Well, anyway, he never did win the Nationals, but Dave's listening, right? He's moved into the Elkhart area.
Very nice.
And we get together, we rehash, and he's also he runs the head tables for the NCAAs. He was an athletic director at University of Akron. And he's retired now, and he's moved into the Elkhart area.
Good quality person.
And he really is a wrestling buff, and he's been on here listening to us. So he might even tell you who that football player was from the region. Here comes the Crown Point boys out for final instructions.
They look good today.
Yep.
They'll have some tough times here in the finals.
Yeah, it should be an interesting matchup with Surtsis and the kid, the sophomore from Yorktown.
Yeah.
Jackson.
He's undefeated. Both are undefeated. Jackson's looked very impressive today. He's had three pins today. His last pin in the semifinals, 26 seconds, was the fastest pin at the state meet at that weight. Plus, he's also got three pins. And all three pins, his total time for all three pins is the fastest for three pins at the state meet.
Richard, pins are important, I really think, and I really like your statistic on pins. But in all fairness, I really think, so that you can include some of those old fellas in there, you ought to hold, have you ever taken a look at pin percentage?
That's been
as a stat.
Somebody brought that up as well. When I was in high school in the 70s.
17 matches going into the sectional.
Yeah, well, when Bond was a state champion, he was only 19-0.
Who?
Dennis Bonnet.
Oh, really?
When he was state champion. I looked it up just for the Gavitt record to see some kids at our school wanted to know, wow, if you're state champ, gee, how many matches did he win? He was only 19-0 as a state champion. And the year before, he was 18-1 as a state runner-up. But when we started, I know pins is still a pin. It's a victory for the team or a victory for the individual to advance onto the tournament.
Yeah.
We had to start across the edge of the circle. They start what?
You remember
a meter across. A
I
meter
was telling
across.
Guys that native blue.
That we start
at
with the
one
with
time,
our
we had a foot behind.
The
then
foot
they moved us to the front.
Yeah. Well, when I still wrestled, that was after you. the foot was on the line and the back foot had to be in front. You couldn't have side to side.
Yeah, right.
Man. So it took a little bit longer for things to
You tell
happen.
Kids that now, and they look at you in disbelief.
How can you do that? How could you wrestle like that? Well, it took you an extra second or two to get started, but once you wrestled, you were wrestling. And yeah. It's the same approach as anybody else. Oh, this is good. Now it gets exciting. They're out giving the final introduction instructions to all the wrestlers.
Yep.
Dave Fleming's out there doing a great job out there, his crew. And these young men will be introduced under the lights in front of all these fans. It's going to be excitement. It's going to be really great excitement out here. Oh, hard to take.
How many
I get goosebumps.
Think we have here?
We'll have
easy running 10,000.
About 10,000. Oh yeah, that's the number they were looking at earlier. They've had 10,000 the earlier afternoon round. They'll probably have 10,000 again this afternoon. I know one of the media people down below was saying that a couple of people called him earlier just to see if a certain area kid from South Bend was in the finals or just made it the qualifying was going to place because they were thinking about coming down just to watch
that. Is
that
right? Was it a kid from South Bend?
Yeah, the South Bend area. One of the South Bend kids. And they just wanted to know if they came down and qualified. And they weren't in the finals, but they were down here wrestling, so they were going to make the trip down. They asked for directions from him, and he gave them simple directions, and they shouldn't be here. So,
well, unfortunately, we had quite a few kids other than the Mishawaka kids get through.
Yeah.
From South Bend. Buckingham from Riley didn't make it.
Nope.
Lunford and Gallegos from...
Lunford had a tough time. He had a tough first-round match.
Yes, he did, you know. And he had Montrell an outstanding year. He lost was to Roach in the semi-state finals.
He was undefeated, ranked 18th in the state. He qualifies down here as one of the top 16. But his ability just was overshadowed. He was like under the radar. By going under the radar, big time seemed to notice, but he was right there. He knew how to wrestle. He knew how to get himself in position and take advantage of everything he was given. So it was unfortunate that he didn't win that first round match because the guy he had, placed here tonight, fifth or sixth, he was wrestling fifth or sixth place back here. But Laquan represented the South Bend area all season long very well on the mat.
Yes.
On the mat, he was really good. So
Allen does a nice job of keeping up with stats and that type. He's a good coach.
He's done a good job. He's done a good job. He had quite a few kids in the semi-state.
Yeah.
Wrestled hard that first round of the semi-state, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And they're getting their final warm-ups in. Loosened up. Yeah, the Mishawaka kids took a tough blow today, moving people into the finals.
Yeah.
I think they're respecting a few more people. Yeah. Beck is going to have a good match with Ayersman at that 112.
Another good match.
Oh,
is 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah.
And then they wrestled in the Al Smith finals. It was 2-1 match.
Yeah, Beck beat him there. Ayersman beat him in the semi-state. I think Mr. Beck is a little bit more mentally prepared.
Yeah, he's a little more tonight. Physical, but you never know.
I think he'll make a different attack towards Ayersman.
Yeah, it is amazing what transpires from 1 week to the next week. You know, what goes through him mentally.
Yep.
How they train physically, how they feel.
Yep.
You know, like I was telling one of the athletes, you know, we're talking about how's your mental toughness level when you get injured or you get pushed to the limit in practice? How do you respond? How do you rate yourself 1 to 10, you know? And it's kind of interesting to get the reaction, you know.
Sure.
Most of them at this level are, hey, I'm a 10, you know.
Yeah.
But some of them were honest. So one kid was a 6. I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, he was honest.
The wrestling talent takes over.
Yes.
The physical,
right.
Physicality takes over instead of the mental.
Yep.
It's just the reaction that they have instead of being mentally prepared to take on the next level of athlete that they have here. Because in this final, if it's anything like last year, it's going to be high drama, close matches, even in overtime. I mean, last year was just
remember the 52-pound, 45 match?
Just high drama.
The Culver military kid?
Yeah.
Holy.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. The young. Yeah.
Young. Oh, my land. He's redshirted out in the Army. Is it Army?
Yep.
By the way, speaking of Army, how did Fernando do out there? Is he
He's done.
Oh, Martinez?
Yeah, Martinez.
I think this was his last year. There was an article in the local paper.
Oh, he's still competing.
I think this was his last year.
Good. I'm going out to the NCAAs. I've been going every year since 78. It's just a nice break, and it's fun to get out and watch the best in the country go at it. But, yes, I am. This man's the historian of the sport.
One of the people that kind of pulls it forward, the gentleman that calls himself the Ancient Elder.
Yes. He's a historian also.
He's got he's going to be presenting updated book up next year. Has a total compilation of the stats from the state meet victories. He's still looking for a few small things like year and grade of certain athletes he doesn't have. I passed along as much information as I can.
Well, you must have updated a lot of the IHSA website, or somebody has, because I noticed that they have some of the scores on past years.
That was from the Ancient Elder. When he printed that booklet up, some of the things that the IHSA did not have, even from a previous book done by Dave Holman from Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that. What Dave had was what most of the IHSA had. Okay, time to go to the lights.
Mr. J, thanks for dropping by.
Henry, thanks a lot.
As usual.
You kids do a good job here. Thanks a lot.